Praise the Lord, saints. Our message today comes from Hebrews 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. That's Hebrews 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I want to speak today on the topic, keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. In verse 1, Paul is telling us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There are angels, ladies and gentlemen, in heaven who are interceding on our behalf along with Jesus himself, who wants us to do right, who wants us to follow God, who wants us to be close to God. That's their desire. They're our biggest cheerleaders, in other words. And we're grateful to have them, because a lot of times we think we're out here alone, but we have people on our side who are actually cheering us on. And that's a comfort when you're going through some things. And he mentioned In verse one, he said that let us throw off everything that hinders. And let's talk about that for a second. What exactly hinders you? Anything that prevents you from doing what you're destined to do is a hindrance. Hindrance comes in many forms. We've always had things that has hindered us or kept us from doing what's right. I don't know what your particular thing is that's hindering you. I can only give you an example of a few. For instance, if you have problems in your life regarding going to church, and you have someone in your life that doesn't go, and that person could actually hinder you from going. The scripture said, let us throw off everything. It didn't say some things. It didn't say a few things. It says everything that hinders. Now I'm not saying throw your spouse to the curb or your friend to the curb. I'm saying that you shouldn't allow them to keep you, or you shouldn't allow anyone from keeping you from doing what you know you need to do. Like if you need to go to church, go to church. If they don't want to go, God bless them, kiss them on the forehead, say, honey, I'll see you when I get back. And pray for them when you get there. Pray that the Lord will soften their hearts and they'll want to go with you. Other things that hinders us is money. Now you'd say, well, how can money hinder you? Well, if you're in a position where all you want to do is get money at any cost, that's a hindrance. Because let's face it, folks, that's not going to happen. There's only a few people who are called to be millionaires. And you most likely aren't one of them. I know I'm not, and I'm okay with that. But if your whole purpose in life is to try and make as much money as you can, regardless of what you know is right or wrong or whatever, that can be a hindrance to you. That could keep you away from doing what you need to be doing in life, what your purpose is in life. And he mentions also, after he says, let us throw off everything that hinders, he said, and the sin that so easily entangles. We all have sins that we have that comes in our life, that stays in our life, haven't left at all, that we have been dealing with for years and years. And these sins have entangled us to the point where we can't move forward in our lives because this sin is keeping us from God. Now, let me give you an example. This is just an example. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, okay? Suppose you have a drinking problem. I'll just use that, okay? Well, the scripture says we should not let that sin entangle us so easily. Well, if you're an alcoholic, you probably don't want to go to a bar, because that'll quickly make you sin, okay? Because you're already weak in that area, and if you're not strong in a certain area, you probably shouldn't go around places where your sin is prevalent, okay? So if you're an alcoholic, going to a bar will probably not be a good idea. That'll easily entangle you, okay? Because you already have a drinking problem, and then you go in an environment where there's constant drinking. So that's just one example of what happens when you regarding being easily entangled. We have other sins that easily entangle us as well, and we allow ourselves to get pulled back into that sin by being in situations that we know that we like to be in that promotes the very sin that we're trying to get rid of. Okay? Now, I'm going to throw this on out here and bear with me. Okay? Just please bear with me. If you constantly do the same sin over and over again, or you're constantly in a situation where you're always doing that exact same thing, then you probably want to look at your situation and say, you know what? I need a change. So I won't be so easily tempted. This was another way of putting it. There are so many situations in life that tempts us in what is our sin. If you have anger management issues and you know this, but yet you allow yourself to be pulled into situations or circumstances that's going to make you angry, you got one of two things to do. Number one, you can avoid the situation so you won't be so easily entangled in it. Or you can say, God, you know what? I got a problem with this situation because I can't even go around certain people without getting angry. I ask, Lord, that you help me to get over this. Same thing with the alcoholic. The first step in alcoholic rehab is admitting that you're an alcoholic. That's the first step in rehab. That's the first thing they tell you to do. You got to first admit the problem. Well, God knows you already have this problem, so he's just waiting for you to say, you know what? I wish you would come to me and just say, you know what, Lord? I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Take it away from me, Almighty God. And you know what? If you really mean that in your heart, he'll take it away from you. So this scripture about let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, you can try to do it on your own, but you know what? If we could fix ourselves, why would we need Jesus? In other words, God can help us through any and all situations, any and all sins, any and all circumstances. That's why he's God. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, which goes without saying. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's verse 2. Now what the scripture is saying, Jesus knew who he was, where he was headed, and his purpose in life. And he looked at the big picture. He said, you know what? I'll go through all this, but at the end of it all, I'm going to be sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, and I would have helped save mankind by shedding blood. Okay, so he kept his eyes on the prize. Okay, now, that's a hard thing to do for us human beings. Christ, he was the form of a human, but he was also spiritual. He also was led by his Father. And he also kept his eye on the real prize, which is God. He did what he did because he knew that's what his Father wanted him to do. And he was obedient to his Father. And he did exactly what God told him to do. So he kept his eyes on the prize, which was his Father. Now, the problem with us is that we don't keep our eyes on that prize. We have a lot of problems going on in our lives, a lot of things. And we allow these things to overtake our lives to the point where we forget that we're supposed to be children of God. Our whole purpose in life, we were not made for our own joy and satisfaction. We were made in the image of God for God. So So what we need to do is keep our eye on the fact that, you know what? I don't know how many years we're going to be on this earth, but it is nothing compared to eternity. We act like our lives on this earth is all that we have to look forward to. We go through things in life on earth. We try and acquire things on earth. But none of these things will go with us, will be a part of us when we leave this earth. So we can accumulate great amounts of wealth. We can have all this and all that. And when we leave, as they always say, you can't take it with you. So instead of us focusing on trying to better ourselves in this life regarding material stuff that truly fades away, we should be doing like Jesus did in verse 2. He understood that he had to endure some things, but it was nothing compared to the joy that he was going to get when this was all said and done. By him being obedient to God throughout his whole life, he knew that his prize was to be on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we are not entitled to that particular prize, but our salvation gives us the right, or gives us a chance to get the other prize, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and left us the Holy Spirit and gave us salvation, we have a bigger prize that we can shoot for. And that's being in a serious relationship with God, doing the will of God. And so when we leave here, we will be with God. Now, the opposite applies. If we don't do God's will, we continue to put ourselves before God, and we continue to sin, then the prize we will get will be damnation instead. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the good life than the bad life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be comfortable here in this world, but I'm saying that this world isn't the end all be all of our lives if you are truly a believer and really love the Lord, because you would understand that this is just a trip that you're going through that's not an eternal one, but a brief period of your life, because eternal life has no ending. World life has an ending. You will die. That is a fact. As a human being living in this world, you will pass away. But eternal life, you'll never die. Hallelujah. You'll always be alive and well in God, with God. So verse 3 says, consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we need to remember that what Jesus did, he endured all these things for us, and we should not mumble and complain around ourselves about what we don't have and what we haven't done and all that, and understand that Jesus paid a mighty price for our salvation, and we need to keep our eye on that price, the fact that our salvation came with a price, and that if we truly believe and truly seek the Lord, then we will also be caught up with God in heaven. This is hard, because when we say keep your eye on the prize, people say, well, you know, we got worldly goals or whatever, but I'm talking God stuff now, okay? I mean, worldly goals and all that is fine, because we have to live in this world. It's okay to want to get a better job, to support your family. It's okay to do that, or get a decent vehicle to get you back and forth to where you need to be and all that. I'm not even talking about that. I am talking about the bigger prize, the real prize. There's no other prize as far as I'm concerned, as far as the scripture is concerned, and no other prize as far as Paul was concerned when he wrote it. The prize is God. There's no other prize. Salvation, our eternal life, that's the prize. Being a part of God's family is prize. You are already a children. We are already children of God. We are already a part of God's kingdom. But we have not earned the prize of being with God in heaven. And let me tell you, John 3:16 talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is true. And I'm so glad that Jesus did that and God loved us so much. That's the beginning of your salvation. But that's not the end of your salvation by any stretch. That's the beginning. That gives you hope. That gives you a reason to live. But we wasn't put here for our own will. We were put here for the will of God. We're all put here for a purpose. And we need to stop letting things that hinder us keep and so easily entangle us, keeping us from our focus. Our focus is God. God is our prize. We need to keep our eye on that prize, on God, and stop allowing things in our lives to take our focus off of it. We're, as humans, we're very easily distracted by things in life. We get down sometimes. It's just the evolution of life, so to speak. You have your good times, you have your not so good times. You have your ups, you have your downs. But what Paul is basically saying in Hebrews 12:1-3 is like, look, we understand you got stuff that's going on in your life. I really understand that. But despite that, do not take your eye off God. Don't take your eye off the prize. If we do that and seek God and grow in God in a relationship, then that prize will be ours. Because God's will for all of his people is that they come to know him. We praise God. God is so good in our lives. And we sometimes get so caught up in life that we forget that God is always there to help us. Always there. And all we got to do is ask. So I'm going to read this scripture again and think about all the things that I had said earlier. Scripture, Hebrews 12:1-3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of angels and witnesses, let us throw off everything, not anything, but everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the prize, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He's scorning his shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Folks, it's all good. Jesus is the prize. God is the prize. Let's let nothing take away from our keeping our eye on the prize. We can get through anything if we have our eyes on the prize. We have God as our biggest ally. He even has a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Let us not let the things that have kept us from God keep us from God anymore. Let's not let the sin that so easily entangle us, let it not entangle us as much as it did. But let us continue with perseverance. I mean, we got to really want this and run this race and fixing our eyes on Jesus, because that's the only way to get through this thing. And I promise you, folks, I promise you that the prize is well worth it. Praise the Lord. We love you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come giving you praise and thanking you, Father, for this word. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Almighty Father. Help us to throw off everything that hinders us and keep us from focusing on you. And help us, Lord, to get rid of the sins that so easily entangle us. We repent, Father, for the sins that entangle us. And we repent for things that have hindered us in the past. But Father, we ask forgiveness and we ask, Lord, for your help. because we need you, Lord. We cannot do these things without you, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that for what he endured for us. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that if we can keep our eye on the prize, Lord, that the prize is well worth it. We thank you for our salvation as well, Lord. Help us, oh Lord. We need you today, tomorrow, and always. For you are God, and we acknowledge it, and we love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.